I'm so glad that we have the ability to stand strong. Junior Church, you can be dismissed. Go this way, please. They're going to meet you right over there, Brother Kyler, Brother Colton. They need some help. 4 to 12 years old, you are welcome to head on out. You do not have to deal with the preacher anymore. You can go deal with the preacher's wife. You should have stayed with the preacher. Boy, I like laughing. I like smiling. I like knowing that coming to church is not boring. I told Crystal when I heard they were singing that song, I wonder if she looked in my notebook and seen what I was going to preach today, which is impossible because I don't think she could have just randomly went through there and said, oh, he's going to preach that message. But I do think that God could have put that song on her heart. And no doubt he did. Daniel chapter number 1 this morning, we're going to look at someone else who chose to stand strong in a day and age where nobody around him was except for him and his three buddies. You know the story, but I want to look this morning at, are you convinced who your God is, and if not, why? Are you convinced who your God is, and if not, why? Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you once again, Lord, for meeting with us already. Lord, if I didn't open my mouth another word, it'd be safe to say that you've met with us this morning in song, and I thank you for that. I thank you for a church that's willing to come and sing praises and laugh and have a good time around your word. Now, Lord, meet with us this last few minutes, Lord, as we open up your word. Lord, allow us to just glean something from it. Help us to understand, Lord, not only just testify that you are our God, but have no doubt and be a Daniel, Lord, in this day and age where everybody else is falling around us. Christians are falling all around us. Men and women are giving up their standards and their beliefs because of what? Because they just really weren't strong in their faith. Lord, help us to have a Daniel mentality and understand that with God all things are possible and you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, cleanse me of sin now. Empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Bind the devil off this place. We don't want him here. Holy Spirit, we sure would love if you'd show up into your home this morning while we're here. Meet with us now, and we'll be thankful to give you praise and honor for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Daniel chapter number 1. When you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he had carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, little g, by the way. There's a lot of them around us. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God again. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Pay close attention to this, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. The devil's not just looking for anybody. He's looking for those that are not on his team already. Why on earth would the devil go after somebody who's already on his team? Think about that. You know what the devil wants? He wants the God-fearing young man who's trying to do right and get to the marriage altar pure. That's what he wants. You know what he wants? He wants the young lady who's committed her whole life to Christ and has made a promise to her parents and to her God that she's going to stand before her husband one day pure and kiss him for the first time. That's what he wants. He wants those who have some standards, who have some beliefs, those who are going to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Those are the ones that the devil's after. Be careful. Here's what it says. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom. You know what he wants? He wants wise young men and ladies. He wants the young men and ladies who are making a difference for the cause of Christ, because if he can win them over, he'll make a difference for the devil. Think about that this morning. Skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Now pay attention to this. And of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah Abednego. Now when we hear this story, we don't talk about Hananiah, Mishael, And Azariah, we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. But let me tell you something. When the devil comes in and he wins the heart of that young man or that young lady, you know what he has to do? He has to completely change the identity of that person. He has to let them know that they are no longer serving the Lord. They're no longer who they are supposed to be, but let me give you a new name. And here's the importance of the name. Do you know what the name Daniel means? It means God is my judge. Now the name that was given to him, Belteshazzar, means the prince of Baal, or a heathen god. Do you see the difference? Let's read on. Hananiah means God has been gracious. How many would agree God has been gracious? But you know what Shadrach means? It means a servant or of sin, or a servant of the moon god. Mishael means who is equal to God? The answer to that is no one. But Meshach means the shadow of the prince. The prince and the power of this world. How about that? And Azariah means God has helped. How many would agree God has helped? But you know what Abednego means? It means servant of Ishtar, which is a Babylonian goddess. So do you see the identity change in these young men? Let's read on. But I love verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. But Daniel purposed in his what, church? Heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now look at this. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel unto the favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should ye see, or why should he see your face as worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. You know what he's saying? Why should he look at you any different than everybody else? And I could just see Daniel saying, because I am different. Church, it would be good if when someone asked you, why don't you do that? Well, because I'm different. Do you know it's okay to be different? Do you know that if you're going to serve God, you cannot partake of the king's meat that Daniel was offered here? If you're going to serve God, you can't partake of the king's drink. Daniel knew he was forbidden to drink that stuff. He knew he was forbidden to eat that stuff. He knew that if he conformed to the image that Nebuchadnezzar wanted, he no longer could be effective for his God. And his relationship with God meant something to him. Guys, we've got to understand that our relationship with the Lord means something. It's not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's not just live your life, die, and go to heaven. Here on this earth, people are watching. I wonder what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have done if old Daniel would have gave in. You ever think about that? I don't think we'd ever heard about those three men in the fire. Actually, four men in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, who's the fourth man? He looks like the Son of God. Can I tell you this? God has the ability to make himself known to anybody. Isn't that good? And a wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, that looks like the Son of God. Can I tell you, listen, when God shows up, there's no questions. There's no doubts who he is. He's very prominent. He's very good. He's very holy. And he's one of a kind. That's why Nebuchadnezzar even knew who he was. Look at verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Notice the names. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, pulse is just like herbs and vegetables. I mean, could you imagine being on that kind of diet for 10 days? I mean, I love vegetables. Don't get me wrong. Some of you are like, no way. But think about waking up in the morning and eating beans for breakfast. Beans for lunch. Vegetables for dinner. No meat. How many like meat? We got some meat eaters. Praise the Lord. We got some saved people here. But imagine being on that diet every day for 10 days. Verse 13, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, he did not say they did drink, that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, the king had said, He should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel. Now you notice the names they're being called here? This king had understood these boys ain't giving in. They're not giving in to what I offered them. I offered them royalty. I offered them endless supply of food, endless supply of my wine to drink. I offered them good clothes, lots of money, new names. But Nebuchadnezzar said, these boys aren't budging. He said, what are you getting at? Let me ask you something. Are you budging? I wonder if you're standing before Nebuchadnezzar right now, is he calling you by your name? Brother Drew, son of God. Let's just get personal here for a minute. It's not worth giving in. It's not worth giving in, because you giving in is not just going to affect you. But look at this. He said, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Look at this right here. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Can I start this morning by saying, sticking with God is always going to be better. It's always going to be better for you, and those around you are going to be able to look at you and say, something different about him, something different about her. And you say, you know what, let me tell you what it is. There's your opportunity to witness right there, church. But number one this morning, I asked you the question, are you convinced who your God is? Did you know Daniel had to endure not only his hardships, but those of the prince of the eunuchs? You know, here's Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're taken out of their country. They're taken to Babylon. They're put under new rulers. And listen, these boys were very smart boys. They were skillful. They were smart. They were wise. They had knowledge. And they were taken away. Imagine just being ripped in one day and taken away from everything you know is yours. Your family, your mom, your dad, no more brothers, no more sisters, no more normality, no more nothing that you are used to. And just being put under the rule of a wicked king. And here's what they say. We're going to take you away from everything. We're going to change your name so you don't relate to your mom and dad no more. Not physically, but you know, emotionally. We're going to change everything for you. But we're going to give you some stuff. We're going to make it comfortable for you. Boy, don't that sound like what the devil's doing right here today? You know, people would not sin if it did not seem fun. I mean, if you looked at sin, it's like this. You know, people ask me all the time, and you know, I don't know how you feel personally about this, but I believe any drinking of any kind is a sin against God. I believe I can prove it to you in the Bible, and if you disagree with me, well, I guess you're okay to be wrong. But you say, why don't you like it? Well, one, the Bible says not to even look at it. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not what? Wise. That's enough for me to believe that stuff's bad. But let me get a little deeper into depth for you and help you understand why I have purposed in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat and the things that this world has to offer. So I grew up with a dad who was an alcoholic. Now he has 4 kids with 4 different women. And keep in mind, he's an alcoholic. Alcohol ruined my family. It destroyed my daddy. I was on the phone till 1 o'clock in the morning last night with my sister and brother, who, by the way, my brother now is a functioning alcoholic, can't go without drink for more than a couple hours. I was looking at him on FaceTime last night. He was shaking. He was picking up his cup, and every time he was just shaking, and he was crying, and he started talking about the old days, and why did Dad have to do that? Why did Dad have to do that? And I said, Stephen, why are you doing that to your family? You know why I don't like that stuff? Because it ruins families. It ruins families. And if you disagree with me, I'm sorry. Social drinking's wrong too. No man ever became an alcoholic by not taking his first drink. You say, well, I just sit around and have a cup. No, 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 no. That's against God. It's against your Bible. It's against what you say you believe in. And God's not fellowshipping with that stuff. See, Daniel said, look, they're going to offer us all this stuff. And yeah, it'd be good to have nice clothes and nice things and all the food I want to eat. Sure, I don't have my family anymore, but look what the world's offering. Folks, if we could see the result of the sin, I'll bet you we'd say no to sin a lot more often. You know, if my daddy could look back in time and see four children growing up without a dad and hurt, and now not even knowing his own grandkids barely. He knows them, but he doesn't know them like he should, like the way God designed him to know them. If he could have looked back and saw his mother crying herself to sleep night in and night out, if he could have looked back and saw his daddy who was going to pass away without him ever being able to go back and make things right with him over some things that were said, if he could look and see all that. Listen, folks, listen to this. You can choose your choices, but you cannot choose your consequences. You got to understand, yes, your choices are yours, but God said, for the wages of sin is death. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're not going to go plant blueberries and grow squash. It just doesn't work like that. You sow to the flesh, the Bible says you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life and life everlasting. Boy, don't we serve a good God? Hey, I'm thankful for a Daniel who purposed in his heart. But you know, not only he didn't have to just endure his own hardships. Think about the prince of the eunuchs that Daniel got into favor with. Think about the risk that this prince of the eunuch, by the way, he was commanded by Nebuchadnezzar to go do this for these boys. There was no questions. It's like the story I told you this morning when my grandparents said something. It wasn't like optional. In my mind, it might have been. But she had other, you know, she made it very clear. There are no questions. But here's King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, look, go give these boys this stuff. Go change their names. Give them this to drink. Give them this to eat. And here's Daniel begging, saying, look, I cannot do that. Church, did you know it's okay to say no? You don't have to give in to the world. And here's Daniel, like, no doubt, the Bible says he gained favor with the prince of the eunuchs, but think about the punishment for the prince of the eunuchs. He even said, you expect me to, like, go to the king on your behalf and say, sorry, king, they don't want what you got to offer. That's like a slap in the face to him. Nebuchadnezzar could have killed them all right then and there. But did he? No, he didn't. Sometimes to stay in the will of God, listen, church, your faith is going to have to be real enough to convince those around you that it's real. You want to get people on your side and in your favor? Stay faithful to the Lord. Do right. The prince told Daniel, I fear my Lord, the king, Nebuchadnezzar. The prince had orders from his king to provide meat and wine to these young men, but those young men had a God who commanded them to stay faithful. Let's look at the book of 1 Samuel. Look at another reference here about a man who had to rely on God and his faithfulness. You know, God commands us to stay faithful, not just when things are easy. First Samuel chapter 12, starting verse number 13, the Bible says, now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen, this is Saul, and whom ye have desired, and behold the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to us, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your what, church? And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. You know, I can only picture Daniel as a scripture man. I mean, I believe Daniel hid God's word in his heart that he might not sin against God. You know what he understood? He understood that the things that the world have to offer are just vain things. They're not going to profit us. And they're definitely not going to deliver us. Verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Now raise your hand if you're a believer. Blood bought, born again, heaven bound. With the hammer down and ain't got time to mess around. Look, if that's you, listen, God's on your side. You have an advocate. And you can't lose. Look at this. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be what, church? Consumed, both ye and your king. You see, he spent 12 verses right there talking about the things to do and all the rewards that God will do. And one verse, he just said, but if you don't, I'm going to consume you. Brings me back to my childhood again. Get that long speech on why you should do all these things. And if you don't, you know the outcome. It's not going to be fun, right? Guys, it's time we make a decision that God is worth serving. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look at Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Jeremiah, Lamentations. Chapter number 3. Start in verse 18. Remember, we're talking about God has commanded us to stay faithful. Look at this. It says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if we woke up every morning, and even though we had those memories in the back of our mind, and we got hurts going on, and we just woke up every morning, and you said, you know what, devil? My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to back down because you're resisting him. You know what he's going to say? Hey, this guy's waking up quoting scripture to me. The devil has, the devil cannot pierce the blood. You guys get that right there? You are covered by the blood of Jesus. And the devil has only the right that you permit him to have. It's a permissible thing. Seeking whom he may devour. Man, you wake up every morning. My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Did you know it's of the Lord's mercies that America has not been consumed yet, church? Did you know you should never waste a day praying for your country? You ought to pray for your country morning, noon, and night. You remember Daniel, the same one we're talking about. He got in trouble for praying morning, noon, and night. And they said, hey, you stop praying or we're going to put you in the den of lions. You know what he did? He kept on praying because his relationship was strong with the Lord. Hey, church, listen, keep on praying. It's not wasted. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad that great is the faithfulness of the Lord? Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I wonder what you're hoping in this morning, church. Verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Daniel was so convinced in his God's faithfulness, he was willing to beg against the king's will so he could prove God's love and faithfulness. I wonder how important it is to you that those around you know God's love. I wonder if you would be honest with yourself this morning and you could just say, you know what? There's been times in my life where I've messed up. And I wish that I could take those times back, because those people that God put in my way to minister to and to be patient with, I just blew it. And there was nothing about me that looked like our Savior. But church, can I say that God's a God of second chances? You say, prove it. I'll prove it to you. He moved me out of this area 15 years ago. Took me to a place a long ways away. My family's laughing. A long ways away. You say, well, why didn't he just leave you here? Because I would not be here had he left me here. You know what he did? He took me 6,000 miles away. He got me under a preacher who was also my father-in-law, so he didn't have much chance but to love me, or choice but to love me. You'll meet him Wednesday night if you're here. I'm excited to see him. He put me under a preacher who taught me some things that I needed to learn about the ministry and life and being a man of God. And learning how to love my wife, and learning how to love my children, and learning how to love my church. And he put me to work in his church under him. And man, see, all along God was molding me, is what was going on. But none of that would have happened here. Say, how do you know? Because I know. Talk to me later if you want to hear the stories. I just know that God took me out of here, out of a comfort zone. You see what I'm saying here? Took me out of my place that I loved, away from my family that I loved. And oh, I missed them. And they missed us. But look where he brought us back to. I told you God's a God of second chances. 20 minutes away from my front door that I grew up in. That's how good God is. And I've already had the opportunity to minister to many of my old friends. And I've gotten the stories of some of them that have been saved over the years. One of my best buddies got saved in prison a couple years ago. He was up speaking and preaching at Grace Baptist Church on Highway 31 two Sundays ago, but spent the former 2 or 3 years in prison. He called me and left a voicemail on my phone. I didn't even know who was calling. He just said, I recognize his voice. So when I heard his voice, he said, I'm praying for you today, and I love you. Don't forget how good God is. I said, man, God took me to Alaska to prove that. He took you to prison. But aren't you thankful that God is that good? Aren't you thankful that God puts you through those trials and those tribulations and those hard times and them fiery darts get thrown at you? But listen, just learn to resist the devil. The Bible says resist the devil and he will. What, church? He has no choice. It's not optional. See, he's under the subjection of God. He was created by God. God is bigger than him. Your God is bigger than him. But I love that God's a God of second chances. I love that Daniel was willing to beg against the king's will so he could prove God's love and faithfulness. Go to Isaiah 41:13. We're almost done this morning. Isaiah 41 and verse 13. If you're still with me, say amen. Yeah. Amen. Good. I like it. So I got what, 2 hours left? We don't have a birthday party until 2 o'clock, right, Brother Scott? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 41:13. The Bible says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. You know the same God that was talking to Isaiah and that Isaiah was preaching to the nation of Israel about? Did you know that's the same God we serve today? By the way, let me just get this. Let's have a little bit of fun. The same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that we're here singing and worshiping this morning. You know, he said, I, the Lord, never change. I'm the same today, yesterday, and what? Forever. I changeth not. He changeth not. God's not changed. He's not gone anywhere. Hey, you know the same God that came down and told Noah it was going to rain? Build an ark, and I'll save you and your family and anyone else that wants to listen to you. Gave him 40 years to do it. And he built that ark, and only 8 people listened. And his wife was one of them. And his kids and his daughter-in-laws were all saved. Why? Because he was obedient. You know, we serve the same God that met Moses in a burning bush. And by the way, the bush was not consumed. You ever think about how all this works? That's God. You're not going to be able to fathom that. I'll tell you what, one day we're going to see him face to face. And all those questions are going to be answered. And I'm looking forward to that day. But church, as much as I'm looking forward to that day, I realize, just like Daniel realized, yes, he knew God was with him, but he also knew that it would have been easy to give in, would have been comfortable to give in, would have profited him financially, physically, to give in. Probably wouldn't have wanted another thing on this earth that any man could give him. But you know what he knew? He had some buddies around him that needed somebody to stand strong, as they sang about this morning. He knew that. I told you that song was going to go really good with the message. He needed that. Psalm 18, verse number 1. Psalm 18, verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Look what he is, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. There's a song out there I love. It's called Jesus is my high tower. I'll have to have my wife sing it for you someday. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. How many know that scripture song? Does anybody know that song? I will call upon the Lord. And you repeat, I will call upon the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. You know, I love singing scripture songs. I have a goal in mind. I want to start teaching some scripture songs to the church, and I want us to start learning some scripture songs. You can learn more Bible and memorize more Bible singing it than you ever will speaking it. I promise you that. But imagine, I will call upon the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Church, listen. Was Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, were they saved from their enemies? Imagine being thrown into that fire and it's 7 times hotter than anything on the face of the earth. And the heat's turned on and it's so hot, the guys that threw them in were consumed. Immediately. That's what the Bible says. They're dead. But here they are, walking in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar says, didn't I throw 3 men in the fire? I see a 4th man, and he looks like unto the Son of God. Hey, church, that's the exciting part about this whole story. Even when it comes down to you being tested by fire, trial by fire, I'm talking about that trial where you're so low, you just feel like life isn't worth it anymore. Even when you get to that point, hey, you know what the world does whenever they see you stood strong? They look and they say, they're not alone in their trial. There's somebody walking with them through that fire. Hey, church, same God, same one. He hasn't changed. And by the way, if you belong to him, he loves you that much. And if you do not belong to him, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can belong to him. You can belong to him today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're almost done. One more scripture. Romans 12, 2. Romans 12 and verse number 2. This is one of my favorite. I love the book of Romans. I love studying it. I love reading it. And church, you need to apply it to your life. But these two scriptures right here ought to be in the brain of every Christian. Look at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what, church? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paraphrasing, this is how it goes. The least you can do is live for the Lord. But here it is right here, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what, church? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we going to do that? You got a purpose in your heart. Daniel told you right there in verse 4. Daniel purposed in his what? His heart. That he would not defile himself. No matter what, you got to make up your mind one day that there's nothing worth your relationship with the Lord. Daniel was not willing to bend and be like everyone else. Miss Barb, if you could come to the piano and play a song of invitation for us. Daniel was not willing to bend and be like everyone else. He knew who his God was. Here it is, church. Are you convinced who your God is? And if not, the question this morning is why not? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, church. She's going to start playing a hymn of invitation. This altar's open this morning. Listen, this altar's open to anybody. If the Lord spoke to you this morning, I wonder if you could be in life, if the Lord were to come back today, would he look at you and say, there's an awful lot of Daniels in this church? Or would he look down and he would say, you know, there's a lot of people compromising. Church, let me tell you something. Compromise has no end. Look, this altar's open this morning. If you need to come do business with the Lord, this altar's open.